Hi, welcome to the podcast, The Socially Inspired Investor, where you can expand your knowledge of rewarding investment strategies and address environmental and socially responsible investing alternatives with important insights from experts in the field. I'm Pat O'Neill. These monthly programs feature ESG, environmental, social, and governance stories in focus, and deep dive discussions with notable people in the industry. This time the topic, Why Should We Be Inspired?, also featured in companion articles in the Socially Inspired Investor Digest at sociallyinspiredinvestor.com. A growing number of investors talk about combining their goal of getting solid returns with their desire to help improve social and environmental change. But how can we be inspired to follow through and make that happen when those social and environmental issues can seem so overwhelming? Our guest is Georg Kell, founder and former executive director of the United Nations Global Compact. He's also chairman of Arabesque Partners, an asset management firm based in London and Frankfurt and dedicated to sustainable investing. And he's speaking to us today from Germany. Georg, welcome.
Thank you. Great to have me.
I think some people might not understand your first name. It's almost like George, G-E-O-R-G, without the E.
Yeah, and, correct. It is the German version of George.
Yes.
Just without E at the end. Georg.
I know the UN Compact has worked for years on encouraging businesses worldwide to adopt socially responsible policies. Can you explain that a bit more?
Yeah, about 20 years ago, that journey started with former Secretary General Kofi Annan, a great man, by the way, who passed away a year ago. When he launched at the World Economic Forum, he delivered a speech where he called on executives, on CEOs, to take on greater responsibility, not just to look at the financial bottom line, but to understand that good environmental stewardship, good social responsibility, and good integrity helps actually to assure long-term profitability and also has a positive footprint on societies. And that call to action led to a major initiative which over 15 years has grown enormously today with more than 10,000 corporations involved in 150 countries. And it's basically a voluntary platform based on 10 universal principles respecting human rights, good workplace conditions, environmental stewardship, and anti-corruption. And every year, progress was made. We launched many specialized platforms such as Caring for Climate or Woman Empowerment, anti-corruption platforms. So a lot of activities have taken place and are taking place all over the world.
Did it take a lot of effort, and still does it take a lot of effort now, to convince companies to buy into this idea?
Initially, CEOs were asked just to do the right thing, and that moral imperative was understood by quite a number of them who personally felt making the right choices actually is the right thing to do. And it supports the brand, and it also protects against accidents in crisis situations, corruption, and so forth. But over the years, this moral imperative has been complemented. So in addition to the ethical dimension, we have now a real financial dimension. Evidence has grown that corporations which are good on environmental, social, and governance issues, they also have higher valuations and deliver long-term good returns. Initially, it was not easy. There were only 43 CEOs who took a stand, so to speak. But over time, credibility has been built up. So as it got better, more companies joined. There are some mega trends which are driving this convergence between what markets are doing, corporations, and what society expects. One is clearly technology. It puts a spotlight on disclosure, on transparency. It enables investors to measure. Secondly, being proactive on the environment is just a winning place to be, whether it's water, pollution, or climate change. And also the social issues have enormously gained importance. Gender issues, race issues, diversity and inclusion. Some success stories on anti-corruption, for example, in some countries where many corporations, American companies were leading that, for example, decided we work together and we make the case that better standards on the regulatory side actually help everybody. And if you have less corruption in the public sector, then the private sector can compete on better terms. problems. So why not come up with better standards and implement them more effectively? And that actually happened. And it happened in many countries around the world.
Well, from an investor's standpoint, there are so many issues here. It can seem really overwhelming, somewhat depressing even. How can any investor looking at this be inspired that he or she can make a difference?
It's actually much easier today. Just going back in history a little bit, in 2004, we launched a platform called Who Cares Wins. And we had a working group with some institutional investors, big pension funds, and a few asset managers. The hypothesis really was, if you care about environmental, social, and good governance issues, then you as an investor also get more stable and better returns. And Who Cares Wins coined the term ESG. And it's a very simple way of looking at the world. E means environmental stewardship. You want to be able to minimize your negative footprint and maximize your positive. S means having good relationships with your workforce, with your customers, suppliers, and society. And governance means your own organization is robust, has good systems in place, and is proactive. So thinking in ESG terms, it's an idea that investors themselves came up, is very helpful. Of course, many investors want to go into some details. They have specific preferences on specific issues. And then you can go deeper. But as a first recommendation, I would say look at ESG as a simple way of making better choices. You know for yourself that your own money is actually working for improving matters in a wide sense. And at the same time, increasingly the evidence is also that over time, you actually have equal, if not higher, returns.
For some investors, though, they're still going to be on the fence about all of this. It's going to be hard for them to believe that the returns are going to be as good if they incorporate a socially responsible aspect into their portfolios, or they might think it's too risky, or they're just reluctant to go against tradition. Is there any more that you can tell them to convince them that this is a good way to go?
Yes, first I understand it is not easy to change practices that have grown over many years. And the bigger an organization, the more difficult it is. I have actually a forthcoming book on sustainable investing where we have the voices of some leading CEOs who explain how to go about. You need leadership, obviously. You need a conviction at the top. You need an understanding that the world is changing, because basically what is behind this movement is a different perception about risks and opportunities. Why? Because the world is changing. We are in a transition towards a new way of understanding risks and uncertainty. So there are a lot of practical tools now also available, which make life much easier. If you go, for example, on the website of the world's leading sponsored investment initiative, PRI, one of the sister initiatives, which had the privilege of creating 2005 as an outcome of Who Cares Wins. You have a lot of practical tools there. My own firm, Arabesque, has a wonderful tool, for example, on the temperature score, which allows to compare different companies on the climate side. In short, there are plenty of tools hitting the market right now, which make it much, much easier. 20 years ago, corporations were exclusively working on the assumption of minimize costs, maximize profits. That's it. Today, understanding that the trends that are playing out around us actually lead to different risks and opportunities. Leading academics, for example, Andrew Law from MIT, who shaped much of the traditional investment strategies in the U.S., he endorses, for example, my new book and is working on his own, exactly along these lines, where the traditional methods are understood to need an update, because the ESG dimension doesn't mean you throw away what you have done in the past. It means you integrate the new thinking to improve your strategies. The efficient market hypothesis is still very, very important, but it needs to be complemented now with a better understanding about risks and opportunities that have to do with the changes that are going on. And these changes, by the way, are universal. They play out everywhere. They have nothing to do with politics, because they're driven by technology and they're driven by humanity's overall footprint on the natural environment and from the big social trends.
Well, Georg, recently I was talking to someone. We got to talking about some of these things, and he said he's very diligent about investing in the 401k that's offered to him through his employer. And he said he would very much like to shift more of his money into socially and environmentally conscious investments, but he doesn't have those options. The options are not in his 401k. Is there something that he can do, say, to pressure his employer to add more of those options? Are companies afraid to be that aggressive?
Yeah, it's the change process is not always that easy. I think asking the supervisory board, presenting some of the evidence to take away the fear that this is at the expense of return, that is one way, just with analytical evidence, and there's plenty out there now. My own firm, Arabesque, was among the first ones in 2014, together with Oxford University. In the meantime, there are many, many studies out there. You look at BlackRock, you look at all the leading voices out there. They all now recognize that sustainable investing is the way to go. There's also in many parts of the world, not everywhere, regulatory changes which go in that direction. It's the long-term trend. The world wants to move into a smarter, cleaner, healthier, and more inclusive paradigm. The young people are pressing for it. So I would bring in some empirical evidence. After all, it's a fiduciary duty to serve the clients. Secondly, if you ask the workers who pay into the 401k, if they have an option to invest in companies which are responsible socially, environmentally, or into companies that are not responsible, that exploit workers, that throw toxic waste into dumping it into the rivers, that have probably the worst forms of child labor in their supply chain. And if they have a choice between the two, I bet you everybody will agree, why not support the positive ones? So there are many ways of convincing the leadership, the analytical way, the emotional way. I have no doubt that ESG investing, thanks to technology and digitalization, will increasingly allow investors to make smart choices at very low transaction cost, and which allows investors to express their own preferences much more directly.
Okay, so now as chairman of Arabesque Asset Management, which really looks for and invests in companies with a sustainable philosophy, it seems you've gone from helping to set the standards for companies at the UN to the other part of that equation, actually helping investors find those companies.
Yes, and for me, it's very exciting. While I did study finance many years ago, I always worked in the corporate space, so I always considered finance as the necessary thing you need in order to get something going. But I never really appreciated the power of finance and how it can be used for good. In Arabesque, we focus exclusively on building the tools for managing ESG data. So we call it the S-ray technology. S-ray like X-ray, you know, shining a light on corporations and seeing where the strengths and the weaknesses. Very simple to apply. And my heart is still in the corporate world, I must say, because at the end of the day, it's the companies who create employment, who create taxes, who have the footprint in the real world. They are the ones who transform and use energy, build and sell products and services. But finance and business now are moving together, and that's the theme of my book, The Convergence Between Corporate Responsibility and Sustainable Investing. So we have now a very powerful movement. It's a very exciting point in time.
I don't think you actually mentioned the title of your new book.
Yes, it's Sustainable Investing, A Path to a New Horizon. The main thesis really is that two mega trends are now converging. One is social responsibility, which has grown over the years. A company today is very different from a company 20 years ago. Many of the issues on the social front are now part of strategy and operations, and now finance catching up with this trend. ESG investing now accounts for over $30 trillion, one-third of total investments globally, and the COVID-19 crisis has reinforced that trend significantly. Why? Because COVID-19 has shown that being prepared on these issues makes sense. So you want to invest in companies that are better prepared environmentally, socially, and on the governance side. COVID-19 has changed the perceptions about long-term risks. More and more decision makers, I believe, today understand that being able to think long-term and to anticipate the possibilities of risks and corresponding opportunities actually is the way to build long-term strength. So COVID-19 clearly has acted as an accelerator for socially responsible investing, no doubt. And that's one of the positive outcomes, I would argue.
Georg, what makes you optimistic? Can you cite, say, three advancements that give you confidence this trend will continue, that we can reach more sustainable goals, and that investing will be part of that process?
Well, to be honest, I'm an optimist when I wake up, and sometimes I'm a pessimist when I go to bed. It's a roller coaster. On the positive side, clearly, I'm delighted that young people find causes again. I know it's a controversial issue, but whether it's Black Lives Matter in the US or here in Europe in different forms, I think for young people to be engaged in societal challenges is a very, very positive thing. It also makes me enormously positive to see big CEOs now, you know, stepping up on the plate, whether it's Microsoft on climate change or other companies. They show leadership now, which was unheard of a few years ago. The same here in Europe. The corporate leadership notion is shaping up. Yeah? That is really encouraging. And the third one is clearly on the technology side. I've always been convinced that human progress and technological change go hand in hand. I underestimated the pace of change. It's accelerating. Many assumptions we were used to, you see the opportunities, and that is a great thing. Never before humanity had so many opportunities to solve basic problems of poverty side, income side, basic needs, housing, food. You can now grow your own veggie garden indoors with drip technology. So these are the positive things.
If you can mention where people can get more information about you and where you are, perhaps the website for Arabesque.
Yes, it's arabesque.com, very simple. And Arabesque, by the way, stands for the beauty in nature and mathematics, because there's a philosophy on the geometry and balance in nature. And much in AI, by the way, is about finding patterns that are in harmony. So that is where we got the inspiration from. Then I also, as I mentioned, is PRI, Principles for Responsible Investing. It's a London-based global organization with more than now 1,000 members. And they have a lot of good tools on investment strategies, how to integrate ESG.
And I think people might want to know more, too, about the United Nations Global Compact, which they can look up online as well.
You just type in United Nations Global Compact or just Global Compact. There's a lot of information.
Well, thanks so much. Yeah. Our guest today is Georg Akel, founder and former executive director of the United Nations Global Compact. And now he's chairman of Arabesque Partners, an asset management firm based in London and Frankfurt and dedicated to sustainable investing. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, it was a pleasure. A wonderful day.
This podcast is copyrighted by Seasons of Advice Wealth Management. It is published and provided for informational and entertainment purposes only, and not for individualized investment advice. Please go to our website, soawealth.com, for additional information. We'll be back next time with more ESG stories in focus and another deep dive discussion and companion articles in the Socially Inspired Investor Digest. Our podcast mission is to make socially inspired and ESG investing more consumer-friendly and achievable. This is the Socially Inspired Investor.